All right, so today we are going to talk a little bit about the mini bid process and some of the specifics of how that mini bid process applies to the KETS contracts. The mini bid process is a process of narrowing down from as many as potentially six different contracts of KETS with the original equipment manufacturers of the networking contracts. We may end up with as many as six of them. And then, of course, as you know, many of those, if not all of them, are identifying at least one, if not a multiple resellers. So basically, from an E-rate point of view, any of those resellers is eligible to sell to you under the contract. So we've narrowed, the state's contract has narrowed down the worldwide pool to this much smaller group based upon, the Architectural Standards Committee and all the work that they do and everything that goes into, determining the various functions and features and whatnot that have to be included in the networking equipment that goes into the state network. So with that in mind, obviously we then have, we may have as many as six different manufacturers to choose from. So because there are six and it wasn't just narrowed down to one and then everybody has to use the same one, we use this mini bid process to narrow it down to the one that's going to actually be providing service or equipment to you as the applicant. In this mini bid process, ahead of it, when the KETS contracts or when the RFP for the KETS contracts went out to bid, the state filed its own Form 470. That is the Form 470 that you, as the applicant, will ultimately reference to make your 471 eligible for commitment, for funding commitment. What was I going to say next? I hate it when my mind just goes completely blank. It never happens to you guys, right? Never. So essentially, that mini bid process, this is what I was going to say, that mini bid process is a reflection of what you would do if it was your own Form 470 that you put out on the street. There are a couple of different things about that, however, that separate it from the Form 470. One is obviously you don't have to fill out the Form 470 yourself any right from the outset. So that's off your plate. You have some narrowing down of the field. So your need to contact the whole world in terms of potential bidders has been narrowed down, as I mentioned. And then we're going to then use this process to come down to the one. So in getting this process started, you will need to request a quote from all of the resellers available on the various contracts. So that could be, if my understanding is correct, that could be as many as 36. I think the KETS contracts allow up to six resellers. From what I've seen so far, I don't think anybody has actually identified six. I think we're sitting at right around 12 or 14 right now. In terms of the available resellers, I don't have the exact numbers for you now, but those will be going out in the with the contract matrix when it's released, which I'm hoping will be by the end of this week. Because obviously, once we get into next week and further, folks will be needing that data and that information. So that will be a critical piece. But that will be coming out, and that will have a whole host of information on it that you will need in order to file your forms 471 later on down the road. So you request the quote from all the available resellers, no matter what OEM they are dealing with. You're ultimately ending up, not only are you narrowing down which manufacturer you're going to select, but you're also narrowing down the reseller. So you need to ask for a quote for the equipment that you're seeking from all of them. When you do that, you basically want to tell them that you need, if there's a specific model number of equipment that you're looking for, because you're dealing with different manufacturers, you need to make sure that you remain vendor neutral, even in your mini bid process. So if you identify this, let's say that you have widget company XYZ or their router number XYZ123. I need to say in my request for quote that I want that or equivalent. And those two words are of critical importance. So make sure that you say, you know, we are looking for access points from the widget company, and we're looking for model number XYZ123 or equivalent. Always include those words or equivalent. Otherwise, your funding request could be denied because you weren't expressing a willingness to entertain possible other alternatives, and that creates an unfair bidding situation between the different resellers. So that's really, really important to note as you send those out. The next thing you need to be aware of with respect to the mini bid is that, unlike a Form 470, there is not a specific waiting period that you have to allow to pass prior to filing your Form 471. Now, that having been said, you do still have to provide a reasonable amount of time. And that's the word that USAC has used over and over again in terms of requesting quotes under a mini bid process, is that you have to allow a reasonable amount of time for those vendors to respond to your request for quote. Now, what does reasonable mean? USAC has stated in their trainings face-to-face and online that they generally consider 7 to 10 days to be reasonable. And when I say days, I mean business days. So be aware that that's what we're talking about, is 7 to 10 business days, if at all possible. I think you could probably, and under the circumstances this year, you may have to, depending upon how things play out, you may need to only give 5 to 7, because obviously we're getting close to the end of the funding window, or the filing window, excuse me. And so if you want to make sure you don't back yourself into a corner of being too late to file your Form 471 in a timely fashion. But I think if you allow 7 to 10 days, you're going to be in a safe situation there. So fortunately, we're still in a period right now where you can be meeting those 7 to 10 business days and still not have to worry about any kind of time-related constraints that might pose a challenge to any of the potential vendors that would be bidding on your mini bid. A question came up earlier today, actually, about providing walkthroughs. This is something that some vendors like to have. And in fact, I heard yesterday, I had a question come up from a district who told me that they actually had a vendor that, in response to their mini bid, the vendor wanted to come out for a walkthrough of their own so that they could bid on the project. Now, There's a couple of different things at play here. One is, you still are bound to competitive bidding rules, and you are still having to operate within the constraints of making sure that you are conducting a fair and impartial bidding process, even though you're only choosing from the available CATS contracts. If you were to allow a walkthrough to one vendor and not make the same opportunity available to all of them, you are committing a competitive bidding violation. So you need to be sure that if one requests it, for example, and you say, okay, sure, come on in, you need to make sure that you contact everybody else and let them come in and do the same thing. And in that process, you would need to be making sure that you are providing each of those vendors the same information. You have to make sure that there is no competitive advantage gained by any one of the vendors by their site visit. Obviously, from an ease of process, the easiest thing to do is just simply to say, if a vendor were to ask for that walkthrough, the easiest thing to say is, well, I'm sorry, we can't afford it to you and to everyone. And because we can't afford it to everyone at this time, everybody's going to operate from the same level playing field. And you're well within your rights to do that. You don't have to provide them with additional information. And in fact, you know, obviously that's exactly what they are seeking in those kinds of situations. So you want to be really, really careful and tread lightly as far as that's concerned. That having been said, you can require, if you so choose, for all of them to be in attendance for a walkthrough that you will provide to all of them all at the same time. So a walkthrough is something that you can do if you choose to. You are not required to if it is requested of you. If it is requested of you, highly recommend that you provide it to everyone, not just to one of the vendors. So you want to keep those competitive bidding, you want to keep in your mind, at the fore of your mind in this process, making sure that you are not giving a competitive advantage to one vendor over another when it comes to the information that you are providing for them to be able to respond to your bid request. Now, that said, once you send out those requests for quote to all of your vendors, then I think what you want to be doing is during those perhaps 5, 7, 10 days, you want to be putting together your bid evaluation criteria. You want to build a bid evaluation matrix, if you will. And USAC actually has a couple of really nice examples. And so I think you can see, oh no, I'm not sharing my screen yet. Let me do that first because you won't be able to see it until I do that. Silly me, silly me. Share. Screen. Okay. So in a moment, you should be able to see that. I'll close my other windows, bring this to the fore. There we go. Okay. So you should be able to see now, if my indications are correct, you should be able to see my web browser and see that we are looking at USAC's website. I did a quick search on evaluation matrix. This page is one of them that comes up. You can also see that it's under step two in the applicant process, how to construct an evaluation. So if you needed to search on this, if you don't have a link, you can just do construct a bid evaluation in the search criteria, and that will bring up this page as one of your options. But this page has a couple of really nice examples of evaluation matrices. In both of these examples, you can see that price continues to be the most heavily weighted factor in evaluating the bids. Price continues to be that most heavily weighted factor even in a mini bid. So whether or not, you know, we've got pricing that essentially you would expect to be, at least from, if let's say that one of the manufacturers has four resellers. You would expect, if they're all following the state contract, that those four resellers will be coming back to you with the same price on the same equipment. So you would expect then on your bid evaluation that for those four, they would receive the same amount of points as all of the others that provide that same piece of equipment, that exact same piece of equipment, because that's the way it should be coming down based on the state contract and the fact that the pricing really should be the same from one reseller to the next, or you would expect so for each piece of similar equipment. So that really means then that price being essentially being the same across the board, at least for the ones that are sharing the same options, it's going to come down to the other criteria that you choose to evaluate the bid on that is going to be basically the thing that decides who wins and who doesn't. And you'll notice that this particular, both of these examples talk about prior experience, factors of ineligible cost or personnel qualifications. Is it a local vendor? Are they Kentucky based? That might be another one. Are they locally based? Do you have experience with them? Those kinds of things, compatibility, that's going to be a huge thing. Is what the vendor is proposing going to actually function properly within your network? If you asked for the widget company and somebody comes back and they give you a quote from the ball bearing company, well, the ball bearing company might have a piece of equipment that will do something similar to what the widget company's equipment will do, but you know that the ball bearing company has software that's going to conflict with something that already exists within your network. Well, then obviously that needs to be some sort of mitigating factor as to whether you choose the ball bearing company's equipment. That particular qualification or criteria, should be or will be a really important one for you probably to include in your bid evaluation. So we've got our examples here. You'll note that here we go. Here's the PDF I was looking for. There we go. So this is kind of an example of what you would have probably in an Excel spreadsheet or similar type document that breaks down how the individual proposals were scored. Spreadsheet's probably going to be the best way to do that, just to be able to see all of your vendors and their scores all basically in one place. This example with only three vendors is, fits all, kind of conveniently on one page. But you can see then that you list your points allow or available for that particular criteria for each one, a total number of points available, and then the actual scores that were given based upon the responses that were provided by the vendors that submitted quotes to you in this process. You then take your totals, and whoever gets the highest total is going to be the winning vendor. This process really is no different than what you should be doing every time you put your own Form 470 out to bid. So this process really shouldn't be, at least for folks who are accustomed to the E-rate process, this shouldn't be too much in terms of different. It should look very similar. Once you have received all your bids, you've gone through the process of scoring them, you've identified your winning vendor, then you want to make sure that you can move on to filing your Form 471. Make sure that you reference the correct reseller or vendor that wins. We will be sending out documentation that will include the SPIN number for each of those resellers, so that you can make sure that you correctly identify who that winner is, and then make sure that you retain all of your documentation, because at some point it is quite possible that you will be asked to provide this information during a PIA review. It is not uncommon in a mini bid situation for a PIA reviewer to say, hey, you have a multiple award schedule that, you know, the state awarded six different contracts, and there's 30 or so different potential bidders. Let's see your mini bid so that we can make sure from USAC's point of view that you've been following the rules the way you need to. All of this documentation falls under the E-rate documentation retention schedule of 10 years. And remember that that is 10 years from the end of the funding year from in which you started this process. So for example, what we're doing right now is for the 21-22 funding year, which means that you would have to hold it at least through the end of 2032. Wow, I can't believe I'm talking about the 2030s already. That I think should cover most of the bits and pieces of a mini bid process, enough so that folks can navigate their way through it. I've got a couple of folks online with me. Are there any questions that you all might have at this point? I am not hearing any. Needless to say, if anyone does have questions going forward, you can certainly feel free to give me a call, to give Caprice a call, or drop us an email, or ping us on Teams. Or while we're at it, I'll put in a little plug for our E-rate open houses. We are holding them on Thursdays for the last four Thursdays of the filing window, which means that we start our first one tomorrow. We have one tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We have one on the 11th at 10 o'clock. These times are Eastern, by the way, for those who might not be in the Eastern time zone. We have one on the 18th at 1 p.m. And then we have one on the 25th at 10 p.m. 10 a.m. as well. So feel free to drop into those. Those are just sort of like, it's almost like a, you know, we call it office hours. It's a walk-in kind of thing. We sent out invitations to those, so you should have received those in your inbox. If you didn't, please you know, give me a shout and we will forward those to you so that you can have those as well. Beyond that, I don't believe there is anything else that that needs to be covered if we are done with any questions that might be out there, but we didn't hear any before. So unless there are any, I think we have come to the end of this short little session.